It is Thursday. Welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for tuning in. You're also invited to call in at 414-1234 if it's local. If you're far away and it's long distance, it's 800-926-8809. If email is your preferred means of communication, it's perspectives@wfsu.org, our email address. If you want to tweet us, that's okay too. At WFSU Perspective is our Twitter handle. Well, in Florida, you literally can't go for more than a few miles without running into a body of water. You got all the lakes and the streams and the creeks and all of that so picturesque, so beautiful, so pristine and pure. But you know, there's also a gargantuan body of underground water that sits beneath our feet. And coming up in a few weeks, October 2nd through the 4th, the Monticello Opera House is going to be the site of an important conference entitled Sharing Water, meaning the sharing amongst Florida, Alabama, Georgia, our neighboring states. Speakers are going to be talking about the future of our local, regional, even our worldwide water supply. And this morning on Perspectives, we have a great panel of folks who are involved in that conference, and we hope that we can hear from you, too. So let's welcome first one of the, shall we say, culprits in crime who helped put this all together, Ann Holt, Jefferson County-based writer, photographer, historian, and all-around nice lady. And Annie, it's good to see you again.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
Well, we had some friends here who accompanied you on this mission here today. Someone who is also no stranger to these microphones, Jack Carswell, self-described semi-retired investment banker who returned to his Jefferson County roots by way of California. Were you missing the map that day, Jack? How did that happen?
Actually, my wife and I threw me out, and I came home for a while, and I remembered how much I liked it. And then when we got back together, we decided to retire here.
But it was a homecoming, so that's really nice.
Right.
Okay. Bobby Golden joins us, too, co-owner of Golden Acres Ranch, 68-acre working farm in North Jefferson County. Good to see you, Bobby.
Thank you, Tom. Good to see you. This is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you didn't bring any goats, though, darn.
Well, I could have and would have been happy to do that.
So might need some fresh milk or something
during the show. No fresh water.
Oh, fresh water. Yes. Well, there is no milk without water, right?
That's correct.
Okay. Dr. George Cole also joins us from the governing board of the Suwannee County the Suwannee Water Management District, right?
That's correct. Good to be here.
Good to see you too, Doc. I appreciate it. Well, and let's talk. Let's get the 30,000-foot overview here. The Sharing Water Conference. Where did that idea come from? This is not, by the way, the only time that this type of thing has been talked about over yonder.
Well, there's a great deal of talk about groundwater, about our drinking water supply, and who's using it, how they're using it, what the future is of water, how much water is going to be left 20 years from now for us to have clean water to drink. And we share our aquifer, as you said, with Georgia and Alabama, and we need to have a regional approach to thinking about how to protect it. And the conference is advocating that approach.
We're going to get into a blow-by-blow here because we have the whole schedule. And this is open to everyone, right? You don't have to be a hydrologist or some kind of a scientist or conservationist or anything else to come and take part.
I hope every person, every housewife, every farmer, every worker, everyone, we all have to have water. It already, if you have to buy it, costs more than gasoline. And it's going to cost much more if we don't learn how to protect it.
Since our source of water primarily in this part of the world is that gigantic Florida aquifer we were talking about at the outset, Dr. George Cole, what is the current state of the aquifer and the karst formation, is it, that kind of encompasses it and retains it like this big limestone sponge under us?
Exactly. It's like a big sponge that's holding this huge amount of water underneath our feet here.
Okay. We talk about it's just how big is it?
It goes really from southern South Carolina, sort of crossing the middle of Georgia, going over and including most of Alabama, and then almost all of Florida, too, except the very southern tip of it. So it's just a big sponge full of water that almost 100% of the usage in those areas is from that sponge.
Well, even though you have usage, I mean, it's trillions upon trillions of gallons of water, enough for everybody and all the needs that are placed on it, or what?
Yeah. Nowadays, there's very little use of surface water from rivers and all like that for almost any industry or thing. So we depend almost entirely upon it, agriculture, industry, public water supply, certainly, and all of those use that, so it's a common resource that we have been using, and we'll obviously have to continue using it.
Okay, you mentioned agriculture, and Bobby Golden, that's your thing there with Golden Acres. You can't have a farm without water, right? So you have to tap into the aquifer then to meet the needs of your farm?
Yes, I do. We have two wells, and both of those wells, while there is some personal use, most of it does go to our livestock. We have 14 pastures out there, and every one of them has to have some water in it. I think about that, especially now that this conference has come up. I've really thought about it a lot. I'm concerned for our own personal use, but I'm really concerned for my little goats and sheep.
That's right. Well, we want to talk to you also about some of the, I guess, challenges that are faced by agriculture, because you not only use water, but there is also water that you got to dispose of as well, or the water that goes through the process can get contaminated, and we want to talk about that too. Jack Carswell, since you hung out in California a lot, I understand they have even more of a water availability problem in California, certainly more so than we do here in Florida right now.
That was one of concerns when Ann and I began, and George began to talk about this, because in California, they've litigated this business of water forever. And in California, they know where every spoonful of the water is, and they do know that out west. They know where all the Colorado River water goes. They have a lot of information. They've done a pretty good job out there, but you know, growth and the demands of agriculture and all that stuff are always changing. And so we began to talk about our water future here. And our concern is that we bring people together to begin to talk about it. This is a sort of beginning effort to acquaint all the parties with each other. And we think in the end the problems that we have and the proper management will be enhanced by how well we establish relationships with the people who are interested in water in Georgia, and the people in Alabama, and the people in Florida. And I just was in California talking to an attorney who's been involved in the litigation of water for a long time. And she confirmed, and what we around this table have thought, that in the end, the management of this asset will be managed by the relationships we build with people. And so this is an effort to get them together and get them to rub. We're going to have a cocktail party, so they rub shoulders.
Okay, but that's always a good idea. A little social lubricant never hurts there. Who says water and alcohol don't mix? But it sounds also like this is an attempt at least to get ahead or to forestall the same kind of conflict that, as we all know, has been going on for more than a generation about the Apalachicola Flint Chattahoochee system, which is in litigation, and we're not even going to talk about that because of that, right?
Right, exactly.
Oh, okay. So and what happens at the conference then? You're bringing in not just folks from Florida, but also from Georgia and Alabama to do essentially what, just meet over cocktails and say, hey, good to know you too?
No, they're going to tell us how our aquifer works. They're going to tell us if there are problems, how it's functioning and how we're using it. And then we're going to talk about ways we could use it in the future, and ways we could protect it in the future. All the way through the conference, there'll be experts, probably 20 of the foremost experts on water in the Southeast, at least, will be discussing the future of this asset, as we've referred to it. It isn't an asset. It's our life. It is what we have to protect for the future. And even to the last day, of the conference, Senator Monford will be talking about how you and I and a lot of young people that we're bringing in from 4-H, Boy Scouts, young people, teenagers, who are going to be worried about water in the future, trying to encourage them to get involved. And then later on, we're going to learn about how to handle what we call gray water, and that we're handling, how we're handling it in Monticello, which is a tremendous saving to our aquifer.
I know we had a bit of a controversy regarding gray water here in Leon County. This was the city of Tallahassee's spray field out there off of Tram Road that for years and years was, this is what we could do with partially treated wastewater, is we spray it on plants and they'll grow and everything will be fine, except it was leaching down into the aquifer and putting too much nutrients, particularly into the Wakulla Springs watershed, and suddenly there's algae and hydrilla and all this other stuff that's popping up in this formerly pristine spring and causing no end to grief, and it took millions of dollars for the city of Tallahassee to rectify that problem. But we still have the septic tank situation. So that's something else we can chat about when we come back on the other side of the break. We'll remind you of what we're talking about here on Perspectives today, the Sharing Water Conference coming up October 2nd through the 4th at the Monticello Opera House in gorgeous Jefferson County, the county seat being Monticello, of course. Folks from Florida, Alabama, and Georgia, a whole host of experts talking about the future of water in our area as regards the gigantic Floridan aquifer that sits beneath our seat. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, please do. 414-1234 is the number to call if it's local from you to us here at WFSU. It's 800-926-8809 if it's long distance. And we have an email address for your comments there, which is perspectives@wfsu.org. We'll be right back. Water, are we talking about? Yes, we are, in fact, talking about water, the Floridan aquifer water, specifically here on Perspectives today, and a conference coming up in Monticello, October 2nd through the 4th, a Sharing Water Conference to talk about the future of that aquifer, which Dr. George Cole is not, despite the size, which is almost incomprehensible, it is not inexhaustible, right?
That's correct. Many of the other aquifers of our nation have been essentially depleted, you know, and the same thing could happen to the Floridan, you know, unless we take care of it and manage it properly.
One of the things that we hear an awful lot, though, is that even though as of right now we seem to have adequate supply here in North Florida, you have a very thirsty area called South Florida, and they have been having some freshwater availability challenges that they have to meet. And then we keep thinking of that big 72-inch pipeline that would be really easy to lay from, say, oh, I don't know, somewhere just north of Ocala to zip it down to Broward County or somewhere. Is that a real threat, do you think, sometime?
There's been a lot of demand, obviously, in some areas, especially the Tampa Bay area a few years ago, completely ran out of water. You know, they had to take some pretty drastic actions. They had to develop and build a very expensive desalination plant. They've had to develop two very large reservoirs to hold in millions and millions of gallons of water to use for their water supply, so to reduce their dependence on the aquifer water. So obviously that has really increased the cost of providing water in those areas. And that's one of the topics that's going to be discussed. We're going to have the executive director of SWFMA, the Southwest Florida Water Management District, talk about the water wars that occurred in Tampa a few years ago and its ongoing resolution.
And as we said during the last segment, to try to forestall or avoid the same kind of water war, groundwater war, which would be analogous to what's been going on over the Apalachicola and Lake Lanier and all that kind of stuff, which is just crazy. Ann Holt, talk a little bit about some of the folks who are going to be at this conference. We keep saying experts and, you know, all sorts of folks here. Here. Well, you brought me a schedule, so here.
Actually, George is the best one to talk about it, but I'm very impressed with us having John Arthur. And George will tell us more about each individual. What I wanted to say, if I can, is that this conference, of course, it's in our gorgeous old opera house. And this conference is free. It's free because we want scholars, we want experts, we want everyone to come to this conference. We want teenagers. Teenagers will be voting in a few years and controlling how we handle our assets, such as our water and our aquifer. We need people to come and learn. That's the whole purpose of the conference.
You're talking about young people. Something just flashed, and I'm thinking, okay, you middle and high school kids who are now probably looking ahead to some of the demands coming up for some sort of a science fair entry, why not focus on water? You'll have some of the top experts in regards to karst formations and aquifer depletion and all that sort of thing at one place at one time. Would that be not cool?
It would be.
But well, it's cool. It's cool for everybody.
It's cool for everyone.
It's cool because our understanding of the natural world has to do with how we're going to do on this planet in the next 50 or 100, 200 or so years. So this conference is part of that. Part of this conference is to get ahead of some of these trends.
Yeah, and people just like myself, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are going to have water, and it's up to us to start thinking about protecting it.
So we hope policymakers attend also, because that's going to be the key.
Yeah, I think you got what's 7th House District Representative Halsey Bashirs, who's going to be there. And you already talked about Senator Bill Monford. He's going to be there too. So
right. But that's very important.
You hear them say that water, if you go talk to them, what they'll say, you say, you know, what are the issues before you as a legislator or as a governor? And in Florida, the number one issue, I think, is water. And
yeah.
So that's an issue you need to be informed about, because you're going to have to cast votes that require you have some information about it.
We've already had some springs protection legislation that has come through. There's also some EPA regulations being proposed right now that suddenly have become a big political football, too. We're not going to get into that, but is that what it's also going to require the policymakers to say, okay, you know, we certainly don't want to restrain economic development or anything else, but there's got to be some kind of top-down protections, because we're not just dealing with Florida. It's also Alabama. It's also Georgia. It's anyone who uses water.
Yeah, the three areas have to get together, and they have to say, we have to encourage economic development. We have to encourage economic development considering our water supply and protecting our water supply every step of the way.
Okay, does that, Bobby Golden, does that worry you? Again, does someone come to and say, okay, now you farmers, you may have been doing it one way, but you may have to change your process a little bit here in order to protect the groundwater?
It doesn't worry me so much personally, but I do see and talk to those farmers that are actually growing, and Jefferson County has some pretty progressive farmers in there. They are doing some heavy-duty cover crops, and they're doing no-till drilling. And I've a couple of times gone to workshops and gone out and actually seen the equipment they're using and how they're doing it and how they put it down in rows to a layperson. It is really fascinating. And I'm going, why aren't all farmers doing this? I've attended seminars where they've talked about the irrigation system kind of going in a circle, and then instead of doing something costly to cover those corners, put something in there that doesn't need so much water. There are all types of things, and I don't think the agriculture community gets the credit that they deserve for what they're trying to do to conserve. And after all, it's in their own best interest. They need to conserve this water because we're always going to have it.
Yeah, without water, you don't grow.
Right. So I think that what Dr. Cole, and he's talked about the grants that are available for the agriculture community and those types of things, I can talk about it more as a layperson, where he can talk about it where really what can help all of these people in agriculture, and not only growing the crops, but also the dairies, and much, much bigger places than we have.
Yeah, Dr. Cole, because that's been one of the boogeymen, boogeywomen, I don't know, when it comes to water threats, is that, oh, agriculture is a point source polluter, and it puts all of this nasty stuff into the groundwater, and they're the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But then you're saying not necessarily so.
Yes, and this conference really isn't going to address water quality as much as water quantity of that, but there's various – the whole concept is to develop best management practices for agriculture, and the agriculture industry has taken a lead in this very strongly. And by instituting these practices, you can tremendously reduce the amount of water usage of that.
Okay, let's go to the phones because the lines are filling up here. You guys have touched a nerve, I think. Let's go to line one first there, Taylor. Anna Lee here in Tallahassee. Thanks for hanging on, Anna Lee. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I am so thrilled that this conference is happening and that you're having this program this morning. I appreciate that the comments about agriculture, especially maybe some progressive farmers making some changes. I'm into permaculture, and boy, there is a tremendous need for changes in the agriculture kind of industry, but it is definitely one of the biggest polluters of not only water but soil and air in the world. However, there was also a comment that I wanted to make a correction on that came up about the sewage treatment facility and the problems that we've had here locally, and it was in regards to – it came off of a beginning of a mention of gray water system. And the sewage treatment is not a gray water system. That's a sewage water system, which means the difference being that in a household, your gray water would be from your anything but your toilet, basically, your cooking and sink and your showers and your anything that would not be exactly sewage water. And that's a whole different question. And on an individual level, we have a lot to learn about doing that and a lot of changes that need to be made in the regulatory level to allow more of that gray water catch that can be used on the lawns and such that, you know, 40% usually is the average number given that people use water, perfectly pure, great water, on things like their lawns and gardens, and they don't need to if they were allowed to use their gray water systems in-house.
That's a good point, Annalee. And I know that the city of Tallahassee recently, well, a couple years ago, set up the golf course out at Southwood. That's now exclusively gray water watered out there. But that's that whole water quality thing. I'm hoping that there will be a future conference. Maybe that'll once we get the supply taken care of, then we can worry about the quality on it. But Mark in North Georgia has a question about the actual lay of the land when it comes to the conference. So let's get him in on the conversation. Hey, Mark.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I've been involved in water quality in Florida since the early 1970s, and I'm now retired and live in as far north Georgia as you can get. But listening to this on the computer, I'm thinking about coming down just to see what's going on and what's new. But I'd like to have a schedule for the conference and a list of known attendees and stuff like that if you have it. Do you have a website?
Oh, yeah, we don't have it loaded on just yet. What we'll have to do is, following the program, if you go to WFSU.org and you pull down the perspectives link from programs, we'll have a link on there to the actual listing for the conference and all that. But maybe, Dr. Cole, if you could talk a little bit, just give us that bird's eye overview of who's going to be speaking when, we can at least start on that for him.
Certainly. And the first day, we're going to start out by first addressing what the structure of the aquifer is, the geology of the Floridan aquifer. And the Florida State geologist is going to give that presentation. Then I'm going to talk a little bit about trends in the water level in the aquifer, as well as trends in water usage in the state and in the whole region around the aquifer, and Florida and Georgia and Alabama also. Then we'll have three very distinguished speakers talk about current water management policy, the laws and policy in the three states, one from Florida, from the University of Florida, and one from Emory Law School in Georgia, as well as a distinguished professor from the University of Alabama in Huntsville. Then we'll talk about looking on the national scene, what's happened to the other aquifers of the nation. We'll have the Scientist Emeritus of the USGS come down and talk to us about that.
Okay, now this is all for Thursday, October 2nd, starting at 9 in the morning and wrapping up somewhere around 4:30 in the afternoon.
That's right? Correct. And then the second day, we're going to concentrate on possible solutions. We've addressed the problems now, so we talk about possible solutions. And Representative Beshears is going to talk about various conservation practices. He'll be focusing mostly on agriculture since his vocation is in agriculture, and he'll talk about what can be done to reduce water supply usage by not only agriculture, but also to a certain extent public utilities and the industry also. And then we'll have a professional geologist from a private firm, Atkins Consulting, talk about what else you can do besides conservation. There's certain techniques we can use to replenish the aquifer and other alternate water supplies we can use to reduce the load on the aquifer itself. And then it's going to be an exciting panel. It's going to there's sort of four major interest groups that are concerned more with water. There's the public water supply, you know, all our cities and all use like that. So we're going to have a representative from the Gainesville Regional Utility talk to us about that. Then there's going to be a representative from agriculture. And tenthly, we're going to have the manager of agriculture interests for the largest landowner in the state of Florida, the private land in Florida, talk to us about agriculture's concerns. Then there'll be concerns about industry. Representative Buckeye, Florida, is going to talk about that. And then there'll be the president of the Florida Audubon Society talk about the concerns of environmental groups on that. So that'll be an exciting panel that'll be interesting to attend. And then we're going to talk about, okay, we've heard the concerns, we've heard the problems, where do we go from here? So we're going to have a presentation from what happened with the Tampa Water Wars a number of years ago when they, in effect, bottomed out in their water supply. They had to go to very expensive options of desalination and water reservoirs from the rivers and things like that. And then we're going to have a panel discussion of three experts that from both all three states that's going to talk about what their views are, where we can go from here to prevent the Floridan from going the way of some of the other aquifers in the nation from there.
And that's all for Friday.
That's Friday. Right? It's going to be that's going to be a very busy day Friday. We're a little concerned about the tight schedule, as a matter of fact. But then Saturday, like I said, I think Ann has already addressed the fact that we'll bring in Senator Monford is going to talk sort of from the legislative aspect of things and talk from there. And then we're going to have a field tour demonstrating how wastewater can be reused for agriculture purposes. There'll be a demonstration tour of that.
Okay. Boy, that's a lot of stuff in just a three-day period.
Can I interject? It's all free, and you can learn about it if you go on the web and type in sharingwaterconference.com.
Okay, and that's all one word, sharingwaterconference.
That's it.
.com. Well, we have a homeboy checking in here. I think we've talked to this man before. Roy's in Mighty Monticello. Hey, Roy.
Hey, Tom. It's good to speak with you again. And I think you meant earlier that oil and water don't mix. Dr. Holt, thank you for hosting this conference, and I'm so privileged to live right 5 miles from the Opera House. I have my registration and my donation check ready to go in the mail today. And it's hugely important, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I know we're going to have time to ask questions and talk about important issues. And I know today is not a day to talk about politics, but I think Amendment 1 is hugely important. And anyway, there'll be a time for that.
Thank you, Roy. I really appreciate it. And just in case you're wondering about Amendment 1, that's the one about setting aside a designated ongoing fund for conservation land purchases here in Florida. Also, a little bit later on in the news on WFSU, you'll hear about the confusion that some folks have regarding Amendment 2, which is the medical marijuana provision. Some folks apparently are confusing that with the federal Second Amendment. And they've been apparently calling some folks in the elections thing, say, boy, I'm for that because I want my guns. Well, that's okay. That's great, but it doesn't have anything to do with Amendment 2 there in Florida. That'll be coming up a little later. Jack Carswell, we want to talk a little bit about what's in it for the average person as far as water conservation and all is concerned. So give that a little bit of thought, and we'll be back and address that and some other moist issues here on our Sharing Water Conference preview on WFSU-FM's Perspectives. We'll be right back. Back on Perspectives, a preview of the Sharing Water Conference coming up October 2nd through the 4th at the Monticello Opera House. And Jack Carswell, since you were in California and you saw how things went with the drying up of the Colorado River and you know, the Los Angeles River Basin is, unless there's some kind of a strange flash flood, I mean, that's just a big concrete open culvert and
flushes everything out to the ocean.
Yeah, which is just lovely. And even, you know, Mr. Mulholland's big old dam there, that impoundment that fed water into Los Angeles, it hasn't been doing too well. And you go into Nevada and Lake Mead is just about dry. Are we headed for that, do you think, potentially here?
I think that that's a lesson for us, and that's something we should look at. One of the concerns I had was exactly looking at all of that. And then because of the business I'm in, I began to notice how the demand on American agricultural products as the world is more interested in American agricultural products. And the flat Georgia land that's above us and in Alabama is almost priceless because the water under it, and in America's ability to grow food and the emerging prosperity of people who live in other parts of the world who will demand American products means that the demand on the aquifer is going to dramatically increase. And when Ann and George and I were talking about it, that gave rise to this conference, is how to be ahead of some of these things, not find ourselves, as George mentioned, Tampa. Or I think there's an aquifer in Texas, it's completely dry in there, George.
Pretty close
they
to
just
completely.
They just did not get ahead of it. And being ahead of it is this. Everybody sitting at this table believes that there are solutions, that we can do better, that there are ways to do better. And we believe those solutions are everywhere. They're in the heads of farmers. They're in the heads of water specialists. They're in the heads of these guys that just called us. They're in George's head. What we need to do is get together and talk about them. And through building human relations and alliances, and we can solve these problems. And that's what this conference is about.
Well, I'm looking at it here from, let's say, an individual who's listening right now. I'm not a farmer. I am not a manufacturer. I am not a municipal water system. I just use a little bit of water around the house, flush the toilet, you know, water the hydrangeas every little bit. Why should I care?
Because you're part of it. The composite thing of humanity is like an organism, and you are part of that organism. And as they say, somebody has said poetically that when a butterfly flaps its wings in California, it changes the weather in New York. You are part of this process, and in order for us to manage our ability to live on this planet, there is a certain amount of cooperative behavior that's required.
Let's go to Preston, who's on the line here from Madison, Florida. Hi, Preston. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Over here in one of the areas that's probably one of the most porous so far as our water system goes. I was glad somebody called and get a clarification on the gray water, but it's also my understanding that years ago, 30, 40 years ago, we were able to use residential gray water. But then after some studies indicated there's more E. coli or other organisms that are there than what was thought, it now is not allowed and has to go through the septic system. And was just wondering if anyone could expand further on that rather than us get all up in air about using our gray water.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks, Preston. Not sure, since this one is focused more on quantity of water rather than quality, but we do seem to be in a state of flux, though, when it comes to water regulation at this point in time, that we do have, as we mentioned earlier in the program, the new springs protection legislation, EPA has new rules, a lot of things that are now impacting both water quality and water quantity. From an agricultural standpoint, Bobby Golden, anything that has come down the pike, either from state, local, federal level, that has hit you guys out there at Golden Acres?
Well, no, not us at Golden Acres. We're mainly small ruminant livestock. I think that those regulations maybe affect some of the larger farming community farms in Jefferson County, but the folks that I know that are in that position are doing everything themselves to abide by those rules and regulations. And as I said before, it's in their best interest to make sure that this all works for them, that they maintain the water quantity. They don't want it running off their fields. They want it to stay there and to be there when it's not raining, that soil is good enough because of the water that's been there in the past. I don't hear anything from the folks that I associate with that sound like that they're upset about what's going on with rules and regulations. There are always questions and debates, but I think it's healthy. And I think we've got some good folks right in Jefferson County. We're a wonderful rural ambiance type community with some really progressive people that want things to go right.
Well, I was just curious because we had a conversation with the president of the Florida Farm Bureau not too long ago, and okay. He was on a pretty adamant tear about the need for no more regulations on farmers when it came to water and all these other sorts of, fertilizer use and all. And he was, quite insistent that was sort of the way everyone in the agriculture community thought.
No, the agriculture community has been very cooperative with us. They're developing these best management practices. And for example, in Jefferson County alone, one large nursery, Simpson's Nursery, they have an amazing record for improving water quantity. For example, as we indicated earlier, they use 100% of the wastewater, treated wastewater from the utility in Monticello. In addition, for instance, they use the best practice to irrigate their plants not only in the evening, so there's less evaporation. They recapture the tailwater, water that runs off from the watering one time. They capture that and use it again, over and over and over again.
Haven't they saved Georgia something like 1.5 million gallons a day or something?
Yes, yeah, a huge amount.
It's a huge number.
Yeah. So, and that's just representative of one small agriculture operations. So the agriculture community is cooperating very nicely. We've recently, in Suwannee Water Management District, for example, we've recently instituted a requirement that any future permits, that there be metering of that amount. We need to get a better quantification of how much water we're using. So any large users with an 8-inch well or larger now require that there be a meter attached so we can figure how much is being used to better protect it in the future. But the agriculture community has been very cooperative in this effort.
Well, back to residential again, because I've heard that the most effective way to treat water is not to use it in the first place. And things such as low flush toilets and more restrictive valves on, I don't know, shower heads and that sort of thing. Is that really helpful, or is that just kind of feel good? Or
that helps quite a bit, yes. In addition, of course, the whole idea of where, for instance, utilities in the past, some utilities were notorious for having a huge amount, up to 50% of the water being leaked out through deficiencies in their piping system. Things like that can save a lot also.
We do. One time in a drought in California, I remember, everybody put bricks in their toilet. And that was so effective, it backed up the whole system. It was very effective.
But we're going to have a representative from the Gainesville Public Utility that's going to talk about some of the steps they've taken to reduce usage in their utility.
Yeah, go ahead, Ed.
You're all saying the reason for the conference.
Right.
Regionally, we need to be better informed. That's the reason the conference is free. We want, as we said earlier, the housewife, the person who works in an office, the plumber. We want the farmer. We want everybody to be better informed.
And plus, we want to – we believe that – that diverse opinions and controversy and free expression will lead us to where we need to go.
No, so we don't want to be a big kumbaya where everyone goes, oh, okay,
no,
here's
no.
what we're doing, okay.
No, we have some ecological speakers there that are going to irritate everybody.
Yes, yes.
But thank God they're coming, because that's how we get to where we need to go.
We are trying to encourage diverse viewpoints, and that's why, you know, that one panel I discussed is just concerns of the various interest groups. So it'll be an exciting.
Well, I heard one of the big let's see, one way to protect the water that it comes out of our springs is to bring in more manatees. It turns out that they eat a lot of the invasive plants that have been growing in our spring. We'll have a story with a member of the Friends of Wakulla Springs coming up in a little bit. But he was saying that now the Wakulla River has become just a seething, literal hotbed for manatees. I don't know if they decided they were tired of Crystal River and moved on up north or what, but now there are just dozens upon dozens of manatees, and they are taking care of the hydrilla and some of the other plant species that have been clogging the springs area.
Fantastic.
And really have improved the water quality. So,
yeah, you can readily observe them if you paddle canoe or kayak in the river.
It's amazing how nature can actually solve problems when you let it do it.
Did you read the piece in the paper about styrofoam, that it breaks when it finally breaks down into its smallest – now, you don't know if this stuff's true, but anyway, when it finally breaks down to its smallest deal, the plankton have found that it's a fabulous place to make their nest and raise more plankton, and so the parts of the ocean are enriched by the breakdown of styrofoam cups.
That's counterintuitive,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. but it also says exactly what we're talking about in this context. There are solutions, and it has to do with information and has to do with education and implementation.
It really does. For instance, millions and millions of gallons of water, fresh water, flows down into the Gulf of Mexico, into the Atlantic Ocean every day from the southeast, from the area around here. But especially during the flooding season, you know, all that water is not necessary to sustain good life along the stream, but if it is wasted, it goes out to the Gulf where it's mixed with the salt water.
And as you pointed out, water does flow downhill. I mean, even if you're looking on a map, it does go from north to south because it's headed for the Gulf.
Even within the aquifer, there's a trend, the level trend, too.
What did John Finlayson say, that God created water and gravity runs the system?
And some of those students we're inviting to come and learn at this conference 10, 15 years from now may figure out how to keep some of that water that's running in the Gulf if we get them interested and begin to educate them.
Yeah, with proper policy now, it can be done. You know, it's certainly doable.
Yeah, well, we're, again, seeing some profound changes here. There is something called the Spring Creek Boil. Again, that's in Wakulla. But that's where part of the aquifer empties in directly into the Gulf. There's an inlet, and when you've got lots of water pressure in the karst formation, I mean, this huge bubble thing, you don't want to get your boat on top of it or it'll probably capsize it.
If it's about
a 16-footer, yeah, it will. It has stopped, and it's got folks down in that part of the world very concerned right now because we've had a pretty adequate flow of water this summer. We haven't had the drought that we did several years ago. There's been lots of rainfall. And the levels in the aquifer seem to be pretty good. But the boil has stopped, and no one knows why.
But there's numerous springs offshore, both off the mouth of the Osceola as well as the Eklemphenny Rivers, where the old channel used to be years ago when the water level was many feet lower. There's still springs bubbling out there now.
Oh, that's good. That means that there's adequate pressure again, and you can kind of keep the salt water at bay. But I hear that we're getting some of that intrusion, too.
George has a project he's too modest to mention, which is to survey and map big portions of the Gulf that are shallow to find out where all those springs exist. And it's a great project.
Here's another project I'm wondering about, since we will have some policymakers, specifically Representative Beshears and Senator Monford, who will be attending this conference. Will the information that comes out of it also be made available to other policymakers who may not be quite as up on all this as those gentlemen?
We hope to record and place all the information on the website and maintain it there for the future, so it'll be accessible to everyone.
Maybe links could be sent to, like, the, you know, I don't know, maybe some folks in the House Natural Resources Committee or something like that.
Very good.
We're in Tallahassee. We must always be thinking in political terms.
That's true.
Up here.
But, you know, one of the things we hope to do is exactly that. Is after a series of these conferences, say 1 year, year two, year three, year four, year five, all of that information will be added to the website, and it becomes a depository of contemporary information that anybody could access.
Okay, so that'll be good to have that archive there too. Well, Bobby Golden, what's the future of agriculture, not just in raising goats and milk and cheese and that sort of thing, but do you see now with more, I guess, just, you know, small, literal ma-and-pa farms cropping up? Is this a good thing?
Well, of course, that's basically what we are, is niche marketing. You're hearing that word a great deal, and it is growing by leaps and bounds. I read something recently where it said that the majority of new farms are generally acreage under 40 acres, and it could be someone just, you know, they're into that midlife crisis and want to get back to the land again, or in our case, we were retired, and unbeknownst to my husband, he had no idea that I wanted to fall into this livelihood. But there are a lot of people out there. It's growing by leaps and bounds. There are many women getting into it, especially in the smaller farms, because we can handle it. And the woman that referred to the permaculture, I have so many friends that are into that and talking to me about it. If we start growing, how to go about doing that and making these things all sustain themselves, so we're not working so hard to perfect Mother Nature, but let Mother Nature do what it does best. And there's a saying in the farming community, we need to educate people to let them know where their food comes from. Well, we also need to educate them to let them know where their water comes from. And I think that's, even as I think about it, our food wouldn't come from anywhere without the water.
That's right. And folks, it looks like we have run out of time, and we hope we will not run out of water. Again, remember, Sharing Water Conference coming up October 2nd through the 4th at the Jefferson County Opera House, the Monticello Opera House, the historic Monticello Opera House. So Ann Holt, Bobby Golden, Jack Carswell, and Dr. George Cole, thank you all for coming today, and I hope it's a wonderful conference. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox running the whole show today. Good job, man. And I'm Tom Flanagan. Next week, we're going to be talking the walk, the upcoming Heart Walk here in Tallahassee, and what's being done to defeat the nation's number one killer. We will chat more then.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.